We feel like, as missionaries, we are water carriers to thirsty souls around the world. A couple of verses that are very precious to me are found in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and I'd like to read from verse 3. Colossians 1:3, where Paul says, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." Bringeth forth fruit in all the world. And you know, friends, that's what's going on tonight all over the world, where this book is being taught and preached and lived. People are being saved, and it is wonderful. Izzy and I have had the privilege of being with Baptist Mid-Missions for a combined total of 97 years. And we have really enjoyed it. Most of that time we spent in Brazil. And then they invited us to be Western representatives, and we've enjoyed that too. And the ministry that we have had for the last 10 years has been different. Actually, it's been, we've tried to challenge people to give their lives to the Lord for His service. Now, we know that God isn't going to choose everybody to be a missionary or everybody to be a pastor or pastor's wife. But, you know, He is going to reach down and touch some and call some. And another part of our ministry has been of encouragement. Let's face it, we live in a country where the gospel message is being rejected by so many. And it's hard. Churches that stand on this book are having a rough time. All over the West where we've been. And, you know, your church has missionary interests around the world. That's wonderful. And, you know, God is doing there what He is not doing here. We are seeing great, almost revivals in our fields around the world. Baptist Mid-Missions has something over 1,100 missionaries, and we're in 52 countries, but we are a small part of the missionary force around the world. And yet it's encouraging to know that these missionaries who are out there are seeing people saved. When we were in Brazil, Sunday night was our biggest service. In Brasilia, our last church, we would have over 200 every Sunday night. And people saved every Sunday night. And you don't see that here. But you know why that's happening on the mission field? It's because folks like you here at home are supporting missionaries with finances and especially prayer. We learned a long time ago that our work went ahead in Brazil as we knew people here at home were praying for us. So don't give up. Hang in there and pray for your missionaries and keep them on the field, because I believe the Lord's coming soon. And I believe that our work's going to be finished one of these days. And we want to see as many people saved as possible. But a lot of things are going on around the world. We have missionaries in a country called Romania. And they are the Oanas. Starts with O. We were in a meeting and somebody told about the work of the Oanas and asked for prayer. Somebody got up and prayed for the Oana program in Romania. Just a slight difference there, but a difference. The Iwanas are a dear couple. He was a pastor in Romania. And then along came this terrible time of persecution. And he got his wife out. They didn't know what was going to happen, so he got his wife out. She got out through, I think, Greece, and then went into Italy, where they were reunited. But she was expecting. He kept his 4-year-old son with him. And one night, his brother, who was in the communist army, came to visit them. And he said, "You know, that night my brother talked with me, but he wouldn't look me in the eye." So he said, "I knew I was on the list to be killed." And so he said that night he put his 4-year-old brother, son on his shoulders, and he walked out of Romania through the minefields, through the barbed wire, across a river. When he got to the other side of the river, there was a road, and he thought, "Boy, this is great." And he looked and saw car lights coming. And he thought, oh, they've seen me and are coming to get me. He stayed there. The car pulled up. The window opened and somebody said, "Are you a Baptist pastor?" And he said, "Yes, I am." They said, "Well, get in the back. We're going to take you to freedom." Wow. And nobody knew he was leaving. You know, the Lord just sent that car along. Anyhow, they covered him up with some things in the back seat and got him out. He was reunited with his wife in Italy, and then they came to the States. And he was pastoring a Romanian church in Ohio when the door was suddenly flung open to Romania, and it became open to the gospel. And he said to his wife, "We got to go back." And so they came with Baptist Mid-Missions and have gone back to Romania, and God has tremendously blessed their ministry there. They're working with gypsies, and there are at least two and a half million gypsies in Romania. They are looked down on by most Romanians. When Hitler, during the Second World War, Hitler tried to stamp them out, just like he tried to kill all the Jews, and he didn't in either case, but he tried. Anyhow, these people needed a gospel witness, and the Iwanas have been over there. They have started 8 churches in 6 years. God has just opened the door. They said in one city, the police hadn't arrested a gypsy in 6 months, which was different. And the tavern in town closed up. The mayor was marrying couples, busy every day marrying couples who had been living together for years and never been married. They got saved and decided that they ought to legalize it. Anyhow, he told about a baptism they had, and all the candidates, a whole bunch of them, were dressed in white, and they marched down through the center of town to the river where they had the baptism. And he said when they went by the tavern that was all boarded up, the owner was out there shaking his fist at them as they went by. But it's wonderful. And our administrator, Steve Folks, made a trip over to Romania for the ordination of 3 pastors for 3 of these churches. And he said it was just wonderful the way God had blessed. He came back all emotional about it, and he had had a wonderful time. But that's what's going on there. We have some people in dangerous fields around the world, and I'm not going to be specific because who knows might pick up the message, but we heard a video at one of our conferences, and the video gave the sound of the bullets whizzing overhead. And in CAR, for example, and I can mention this country, we have excuse me, this cold is really trying to get me, but I'm not going to let it. Yesterday I couldn't talk at all. And I asked the Lord last night, Lord, you got to help me tomorrow because I got to speak and we got to sing and so forth. But I'm doing fine, really. Okay. Cough drop on the way. Great. Oh, thank you. Anyhow, CAR was our oldest field. And we have planted 419 churches in CAR. All of them have national pastors, African pastors, all of them. This is great, and this excites me, but something that one of the missionaries said excites me even more. He said, you know, these churches are organized only because there is a pastor ready to take them over. Each one of these churches has maybe 10 or a dozen congregations spread out over the countryside, and they're not organized churches only because they don't have a pastor, but they're the size of an organized church. And God has just richly blessed. But there's been a lot of political turmoil in CAR. Our missionaries have been evacuated at least 4 times in the last 12 years. Something that up until the last 10 years or so has never happened. But the emphasis of Baptist Mid-Missions is on evangelism and church planting. And we thank the Lord for that. Because these churches are going ahead with their national pastors. We have one hospital that's on its own, several Bible institutes that are all on their own. The missionaries are only there in an advisory capacity to just help out where they can. The work is being done by the nationals and CAR. And that is just really, really exciting. When we were in Brazil, we saw the Lord work, and it was an exciting almost 40 years. One time, our church up in, we lived for about 15 years right on the mouth of the Amazon River. And one time we went back from furlough, and the church said, you know, there's a place down the way where there's no gospel witness. We'd like to start a congregation there. Yeah, let's do it. So we rented a house, took out all the partitions, and got ready to start the meetings on a Tuesday night. Sunday afternoon, we got our people together and said, we're going to go down there and we're going to pass out tracts and invitations to start this new little work. We only had 2 tracts left. And the name of one of them was Salvo por um Terremoto, Saved by an Earthquake. The other one was The Signs of the End Times, Os Sinais do Fim. And we hadn't used them because we figured, well, they weren't really appropriate, but they did have a gospel message, so we gave those out by the thousands. Came home, had a great evening service, put our kids to bed, our 4 boys, which is no small job. And about 2:00 in the morning, sounded like an express train was coming through our front door. And I jumped out of bed and everything began to shake. It was an earthquake. They hadn't had one in Belém for over 100 years. The next morning, when I went out, we lived behind the church, and there was a gate out in front. I'd go out early and open the gate for anybody to come in. There was a whole lineup of people, most of them Christians, wanting to get their lives straightened out. The Tuesday night, then, we had the first service in the new little congregation. And the place was full. We had built benches. They were all full. People hanging in all the windows. It was just exciting. And when we had the message and gave the invitation, 19 people accepted Christ. And it was, those things happen. God doesn't always send an earthquake to open up a new work, but that time He did, and it was great. But it's wonderful to see what the Lord's doing. Again, I say, it's because God's people here at home were praying. Another country that's having a bad time right now is the Ivory Coast. Maybe you've heard about the problems they had there. The army had to go in to evacuate missionaries. It's interesting, our president, Gary Anderson, went to visit the ambassador to CAR. He was there on a field trip and thought he'd go and see the authorities there. So he went in and was talking with the ambassador. And the ambassador said, you know, he said, I can't understand missionaries. Of course, he wasn't a believer. He said, our people come here for 2 years and they cannot stand it. I mean, it's the worst possible assignment that they could get. They just get out of here as quick as they can. Your missionaries are evacuated and they can't wait to get back here. He said, I can't understand that. So Gary Anderson had a chance to tell him why missionaries are doing that. Well, I'm going to ask you some questions now. What is the second largest Hispanic city in the world? Right, Los Angeles. If you had missed that, I don't know what I'd have done with you. What is the second largest Polish city in the world? Chicago, yeah. Yep. What's the second largest Hungarian city in the world? No, close. Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland. What is the largest Jewish city in the world? New York, yeah. New York. I bring this up because here in our own country, we have some tremendous opportunities to reach foreign people. They say that about 10% of the college students in the States are foreign-born. We have the college fellowship that evangelizes people in campus work. And they have had some tremendous opportunities to win foreign people to the Lord. They go back then to their own homes, their own countries, taking the gospel with them. Another thing that has been an opportunity is the Medals for Glory program. The Winter Olympics and the Summer Olympics back in 96, we had groups of people at both of those. Back in 96, we had over 400 people saved. And they're still getting reports in from that. In February, we had the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City. We had over 200 people take part in that. And they just had a wonderful time. They had gospel literature in about 8 different languages. They gave out little gospel bracelets with the wordless book in colors. And they gave out pins. At the 96 Olympics, they found that what the athletes really wanted was to exchange pins. So this time, we had made up pins the shape of Utah with the wordless book colors on them. And they gave those out too with the other things. And it was great. And I've got to bring a grandpa story in with this. A year or so ago, when I had received a few of these pins, and I gave one to our sons. And our youngest son, Dan, has a little boy called Aaron. Aaron saw this on his dad's coat. And he said, "Dad, what's that pin?" And his dad sat him down and explained to him what the colors meant and everything. And then Aaron said, "Dad, my heart's not clean. I need to be saved." And so he prayed with him, and our little grandson accepted Christ that night. About a month ago, they told us that Aaron's other grandpa had come to spend a few days with them, not a believer. And after devotions one night, Aaron went up to him and said, "Grandpa, are you saved?" And Grandpa went, something like that. And then Aaron said, "Well, let me tell you how I got saved." And so he went right down the line on the colors. Dan said he didn't get them all in the right order, but he got them all in there. And from the black heart to the gold of heaven. And then he said, "Grandpa, wouldn't you like to trust Christ too?" I wish I could say that he did, but we don't know that. But we thank the Lord for that. I don't know. Maybe Aaron was the first convert with these pins even before the Winter Olympics even started. But they reached people from, I think, 91 different countries. And they had over 90 decisions for Christ. And they didn't just stand on the street corner and give these out, but every one of them was by a real testimony and giving out the word for these people. Now, what we're looking forward to in 2006, yeah, I think it's in Germany, is going to be the World Cup soccer. You know, soccer is not that big a sport here in our country. But boy, it sure is around the world. And we're gearing up to have a Medals for Glory program in 2006, if the Lord tarries, which I'm not sure He will. But these are things that the Lord's doing. People who got saved here went back to their countries, taking the word with them. Time's gone. You want to get to that sing? But you know, this is what's going on around the world, just a few of the things. And as I said before, it's because of your interest, you're sending missionaries, keeping them on the field, and praying for them regularly. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you tonight for your goodness to us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for the privilege of giving out your word around the world. And we're thankful for what you are doing. And we pray, dear God, that you will continue to bless missionaries and their efforts. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.